All right. Good evening, everyone. This is Rochelle Wilhite, the designated broker for Best Choice Realty. We are on conference call number 9. We're getting close to the last portion of our sequence. We're going to be talking tonight about the listing success process, about some ideas on how to ask the right questions. I am tailoring tonight's call on some great information and videos that you all should take some time and watch. If you've got some a half an hour to kill or 15 minutes to kill, there are some great videos that you will help empower you in knowing what questions to ask or how to structure your scripting. So before I get started, just a couple housekeeping things. We will end probably a little bit early tonight, allowing you some time to watch maybe some segments of the videos. And a takeaway from tonight's call is you really should come up with, number one, a pre-qual for a questionnaire, something that you can ask the sellers when you get them on the phone. It's the inquiries that come in. It's that family member that's saying, I'm thinking about putting my home on the market. You need to come up with a questionnaire. We're going to spend some time tonight discussing what could be on that questionnaire, but we're going to spend the bulk of tonight discussing the listing proposal and what you should say when you go to the listing appointment and you're actually proposing for them to use your services and use Best Choice Realty, and we're going to talk about that and role play that tonight. So with that, we'll get started. The first thing that I want to point out is that there were several attachments. There were 4 attachments to the email that was sent out today, and there were 4 videos on YouTube. 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all purposely given to you to give you better structure and more insight into the process. I did not become a top listing agent on my own. I am not. It's not in my DNA to be as aggressive or as what I would see some of those listing agents go out there and just wow sellers. I had to be learned behavior. I had to have a lot of skill at going in to other listing agents, going as a co-listing agent at times to learn what they do, and also I learned what not to do. And so it took me quite a few years before I was confident in my own abilities to go out and list. So instead of having to go through years of learning, what I would recommend doing is watching these videos and then embracing some of the ideas in the videos, creating your own scripts, and actually practicing real estate and doing listing appointments the right way from the very beginning. I learned some bad habits from other listing agents when I approached the business or this side of the business in that way. So my advice to you, would be if you're a brand new listing agent or wanting to dive into listings, to watch P1, P2, P3, and P4, the 4 videos that I've included in my email today that Debbie DeGroat does. There are times when you're going to be enticed by other coaches on how to do the listing process. Debbie DeGroat is one of the top listing agents in California. In fact, I'd venture to guess she's probably the top in the nation when she was doing listing appointments. So she gives some great advice on how to structure your appointment, what to say, how to deal with some objections, and really all encompasses the process from start to finish. The other thing I've attached would be the Word documents, and I purposely did it on Word so that you have the ability to modify the Word document or make it your own, or copy and paste. It is meant for you to personalize or customize. Each marketplace is slightly different, and as you'll notice when you listen to some of Debbie's scripting, it's very California-based. There are some areas where she says, hey, initial here for the key box, initial here for this. You can certainly replace the scripting with your own and make it Washington-esque. When you look at the qualifying questions, you may need to go to page 2. And then there's going to be some of the things I'm going to talk about tonight have a lot to do with my training and coaching that I spent thousands of dollars doing with not only Debbie DeGroat's group, but other organizations like Mike Ferry, Buffini. And the one thing I took away from all of these coaches and all of this training that I spent thousands of dollars on was that my style is very much what my clients appreciate. Your clients are wanting a genuine approach to the business. They're not looking for somebody that's super scripted. What they are looking for is to be directed and consulted in a way that makes sense. So what I went ahead and did with all of the questions and scripts and everything that I obtained from Buffini, Mike Ferry, Debbie DeGroat, and others that may or may not be noted, is I put together a overall 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different categories, if you will, of different types of questions. So as you're building your questionnaire, and I do have a questions that can uncover the details, that is a one person's questionnaire, that could be created on your own. You should personalize and customize your very own questionnaire, a pre-qualification to uncover the details that make sense for your seller. Okay, so here are the topics that you're looking for as you build a script. It's basically your framework, the script or the questionnaire that you may want to type up tonight, and then you'll have something as a takeaway. Debbie refers to when she was new to the business, she, in I think it was P1 or P2 of her video sequence, she talks about how whenever she got a phone call from a seller, she talked about having a questionnaire in her car, a questionnaire on her desk, a questionnaire on the kitchen cabinet, on the kitchen counter, a questionnaire, you know, at her workplace, and maybe, you know, at in her purse, so she had something that she could write things down on. You are going to be approached by many people in the coming months, especially as the market starts to change slightly in the winter months, to ask, you know, for them to ask questions and just to be thinking about selling their home. This is your opportunity to not only memorize your questions, but also to write them down, because you will not have them memorized from the get-go. You will have to be just like Debbie and I, write it down, have it on a sheet of paper so that you can appropriately pre-qual the sellers before you go on a listing appointment, before you send them a listing package, so that you know what they're looking for in a real estate broker. So here are the categories. Number one, you're going to need an icebreaker. Just some basic questions on building rapport. It could be just a simple question as, would you like me to notify you when the market changes in your neighborhood? You know, what is your address? What information would you like me to provide to you about selling your home? Those types of icebreaker questions are fantastic when you first talk to a potential seller lead on the phone, or when you're meeting with them on the first, you know, say you're just passing by in the school. Maybe your son and daughter go to the same school together and you need to have some sort of icebreaker, you know, a way to touch base and opportunity to follow up with them at a later time. Would you like me to run a quick market valuation of your home? Those are all good icebreaker questions that you can use. You need probably a few that you can roll off of your tongue very easily and genuinely. Then once you start to dig in deeper into the conversation, you want to be able to ask them more questions. These are some questions that you could add to your questionnaire. There are, again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different topics of questions. And all of the topics are very important to cover because they uncover the details. It is a way for you to set expectations. It's a way for you to prepare for your listing appointment. It gives you an indication of their motivation. There are many, many reasons why you would use these types of questions in your questionnaire. So here are the categories. The first category after the icebreaker would be number the reasons and motivations for moving. You really want to uncover why they're moving, their reasons, their motivations, and so there are different questions around that. So you don't need to ask all of these questions. What I did when I trained and coached other agents in my firm early on and in my past career as an educator and as a consultant for another company that I work for is I had them highlight 2 or 3 different questions that they could add to their questionnaire using some of the questions that fit within that category. So if I was doing this tonight, I would have printed out the Word document, Seattle's Best Buyer Qualifying Questions, scroll to page 2, and then highlight some of the questions that sound like you or sound like something you could add to your script or add to your questionnaire. Some of the questions that you'll see under that category for reasons and motivations for moving would be, describe your home for me. Okay, that might not be a question that we use when we actually have been to their home, because I've been to their property, but maybe I need a few different questions, especially if it's a friend of the family. Give me three reasons why you decided to purchase the current home you live in. What do you like most about your home? What do you like least about it? I know I've been to your property, but what do you like most about it and what do you like least about it? Again, I'm trying to uncover the reasons and motivations for the move. You know, sometimes I know a lot about a person because we've interacted on a personal level, but it's asking some of these questions that have saved me tons of time, tons of money, and have really uncovered the reasons and motivations of the seller. So select three or highlight three that resonate well with you that you could use for your scripting. Maybe it's just simply telling you, asking them about their home. You know, how many bedrooms, how many baths, what's the size of your yard? Tell me about your neighborhood. Those are great questions that will really uncover and get the ball rolling as far as uncovering their motivation for moving. The next line of questioning comes from the category of readiness to list or their urgency. When an agent does not ask these kinds of questions, or they maybe say, "Oh, I know the client, I know the seller, I've been to our house many times," what they will often find is that they'll have a seller that overprices their home. They don't include enough marketing material. They don't include the seller. There's challenges along the way. If you understand their readiness or their urgency, and that's different than the motivation, you'll be able to properly price and properly set expectations when you go to actually list their property, when you actually meet with them to get their signature on the listing contract. So some of the great questions that I use, and again, there are several here that you can choose from depending on the situation. Again, what I would recommend doing is having your questionnaire, you create your own, and in this category, pick two or three different things you can ask to build your script, to build your questionnaire. What challenges will you face when you put your home on the market? That's a great question to understand their readiness or their urgency. What is your time frame for selling? You know, if they say, "I'm really ready to go in the next week or weekend," or "No, we're several months from getting ready to go." I was able to ask that one of the questions here, "When will you be interviewing realtors?" And he's like, "Probably never. I hate realtors," is what his response. So I knew what kind of client I was dealing with when I asked that question, and I knew I just had to win him over on the appointment, and because I knew he would not be interviewing any other realtors. He hated realtors. In fact, I came highly recommended to him as somebody to reach out and talk to about selling his home. So again, you need to understand the answers to some of these questions. Not necessarily all of them, but at least two or three so you can understand their readiness to list or their urgency. If you become like a robot and ask all the questions, they will not think you are genuine. They will not think that you are experienced. So again, be very cautious and concise when you come up with maybe your two or three questions in each category. The next question, the opinion of value. When you're on the phone with them or when you're meeting with them a quick, you know, one-on-one before you actually do your CMA, you do need to have an understanding of two or three of these questions in this section. My favorite one to ask would be, what upgrades have you done since you purchased the home? It comes naturally to me to ask that question. Or what have you done to the property since you purchased it? I naturally ask that question because I've been trained to ask that question. So that's the one that I would highly recommend you highlighting tonight if you're talking with somebody on the phone or creating a questionnaire. The other question I like is, what is your estimated payoff? Again, I'm not asking them how much their home is worth. I'm asking them how much it would take for them to pay off. Do you own your home outright, or do you have a payoff or an estimated number of what you owe on the property on your mortgage? In essence, I'm trying to understand their opinion of value, the baseline that we need to work from. The other thing to understand would be their opinion of value would, if will you be competing with any neighbors going on the marketplace? And if so, how does your home, if the answer is yes, you would say, how does your home compare to the neighbor's house that's on the market? Many sellers will see their neighbor go on the market or the home down the street or in their neighborhood, and that will get them thinking about listing their home. And so they start that process sometimes earlier than they really want to. But if you understand their mindset and what that other property is like down the street, that may help you in pricing the home so that it meets their goals and it meets and it helps them understand that they're getting full value for the property. And it may not even compare. We have a situation right now at Best Choice Realty where we have two homes that are going to be going on the market at the same, roughly the same time. However, once we identify what the property, the seller has done to upgrade their property, and one had a converted garage and the other one did not, and one is a lot less square footage, it's 880 square feet built in the same year, but the other one is more of a family sized home, one that you could have multi-generationals living in it, around 2,000 square feet. So it's two different types of properties even on the same street. So our marketing plan or proposal is going to be different from one versus the other. But it did get both of those sellers talking to each other, and ultimately one of our Best Choice agents has the opportunity to list both in the next month or two. So that was a great question to ask in that situation. Ultimately, you could simply ask what do you feel your home is worth. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be the price that you list at when you go to meet with them in person, but that may give you a baseline to work from when you're actually trying to come up with comparables that make the most sense. In today's market, it is oftentimes hard to find comparables because you may have to go out in distance, or if you're out in proximity. And so it would be important to know, if there are upgrades that you're not able to find, some subjective factors that they consider worthwhile or worth the value. And then ultimately, if you understand where they kind of put their range at, or maybe they even tell you, well, my Zestimate says that or this, then you're able to deal with those objections either then on the phone or when you meet with them in person. You can explain your position and you're able to negotiate through a lot of those objections right from the very beginning. The next category would be previous experience with real estate. Some people think, so why are you asking me to ask these types of questions? I don't want to ask these types of questions. I just want to assume that I'm going to be able to get the listing. The assumptive close works for me. Those are some of the things, the resistance that I get when I have coached agents to ask questions about the previous experience with real estate brokers. When you ask these types of questions, you're basically handling it to yourself on a silver platter. You're finding out what the other agent didn't do, what kind of experience they've had in the past with listing agents, and so you don't make those same mistakes. I have saved myself a lot of hassle and been able to deal with many challenging sellers by asking some questions about their previous experience with real estate agents. So number one, what do you expect from your real estate agent? What has your previous experience been like with other realtors? What criteria will you be using when hiring an agent? All three of those questions are really good questions. I've used all three, sometimes one, two, sometimes all three, depending on the situation. So I highly encourage you to use some of those questions when you build your questionnaire or you build your preparation script. The last one would be the setting expectations. What are you looking for in a realtor? What else do you think I should know? Really setting yourself as the consultant in the conversation, or when you're sitting talking at the ball game, or when you're having a brief conversation on the phone prior to your appointment. Setting expectations, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and do a very thorough analysis, and I'm going to run the comparables so that I truly understand where your value sits. It sounds like your urgency is set up where you need to make some decisions, and I would be happy to come out and give you some advice on what you need to know about your property and how to properly position it in the marketplace. I gave you a lot of different ideas or scripting that you can take from right there, but you need to start, set it up with, here's what I will do. Here's how I work. Here's what I'll do before I come out to see your property. This is how you set yourself apart from your competition and how you set expectations with the seller. When you over-deliver, when you set those types of expectations, and then you show up on time and you're completely prepared and you've sent the pre-listing package ahead of yourself, your appointment, they're wowed. They're excited. They're properly positioned to sign on the dotted line. There's not this not knowing when they're going to go or their time frame. There are times where I've had to go out on two or three different appointments, and if I would have just asked the questions that I had on my questionnaire, I would have been able to go out there with one appointment and not wasted my time or wasted the seller's time in the nonsense questions or the tons of time of touring their property to then find out that they've already signed an agreement with another listing agent, or they were going to go with somebody that they knew at their church. Those types of conversation are minimized when you have this type of pre-qualification questionnaire at your desk, near your kitchen cabinets, at your workplace, wherever you are going to be taking phone calls from interested sellers. You need to have some sort of script. If you don't have one now, I can tell you right now, I look at my roster of all of the Best Choice agents, and I would say 240 of them really need to get their act together and draft up some sort of script. We've done some record-breaking listings, no doubt about that, but there's always room for growth in the listing arena. Most of the top listing agents have figured out that they need to be more prepared when it comes to their listing presentation because they're up against competitors that are pretty strong competitors. And the thing that differentiates themselves from those competitors is their presentation and how they explain themselves and their value proposition, basically the practicing that you're going to be doing in the coming weeks and months. Also, you could prospect more. I mean, Debbie talks about that in her listings training on the videos. You know, you got a couple choices to increase the number of listings taken. You could either improve your presentation, differentiate yourself from the competition, and ultimately win more listings, or you could do the opposite, which is harder for listing agents. They have to prospect a lot more if they're not skilled at the presentation or differentiating themselves. So I would tend to go with the first two, which would be to spend some time tonight and in the coming weeks to develop your questionnaire, to practice your scripting, to be better at your presentation, and therefore you won't have to prospect as much. You'll be able to win more listings because your presentation is so solid. You know, if you're a listing presentation, if you don't win every or 98% of your listings, then you need to go back to the drawing board and come up with a script that makes sense, that will get you the end result. Now, the listing proposal, I'll end with that tonight, is fast forward. You know, you've done your questionnaire. You've sent a beautiful pre-listing package. We are getting a lot more interest in our pre-listing boxes that we're sending out. They're beautiful packages. I would highly recommend you do a questionnaire. You have a conversation with the seller before you send those pre-listing boxes out to the seller so they're prepared to receive it. So in the end of your conversation, you might want to be scripted and say, so here's what I'll do. I will have my office send out a pre-listing box, which will have a lot of information about our company, about what our marketing is all about, some samples of the contracts, and some samples of things that are important that are required by law for me to send you. And then if you could look at those things over and have some of your questions listed out about your property, that way we can use the time wisely when I come out next Thursday. That, again, puts them in control, but also puts you in control. It gives them some assignments and some buy-in that you are fully prepared to take that listing when you come out. So when you go out to do the listing proposal, you go out to do the listing presentation, if you will, you're not going to be spending as much time going about your value and talking about everything about the company because they've already received all that information. However, when you sit down at the table, we're going to talk about some of the questions on what I would do as I propose to take the listing from that seller. So I'll briefly talk, when I sit down at the table, I'll briefly talk about why the seller should choose me. I may refer, if they have the box sitting on the counter ready for me, that's kind of a clue for me to actually maybe point out a few things in that pre-listing package that is important, and maybe my bio is also, I'll flip to that bio so I can just have that sitting on their table while I'm talking about what I do and how I do things differently. I'll briefly talk about the company and how many listings we take in the area and how supportive our brokerage firm is in comparison to the competitors, that we're full service and full, you know, online. I also want to share a little bit about what I do to sell properties and how I customize that for each seller that I interact with. People like that. Sellers really respond well when I cover that in my listing presentation. I also like to cover These are some keywords, some buzzwords that you may want to interject into your listing presentation. They like the words internet. They like the word targeting. They like the word referral. They like the word, you know, that you have buyer referrals, that you have acquired those, that you have regular prospecting or communication that you have with other buying agents. They love those types of words. And they love it when you ask questions. So it's not so much about going through all the material that you sent them ahead of time. It's about asking them questions and engaging them in your presentation. So quite simply, I'm going to talk briefly about myself and my company, what I do to sell properties that's customized to them that may be different from my competition. I'll interject some things, maybe even flip to some of the pages in the presentation if it warrants that. And then I will ask them, before I go into the pricing, is there anything else I have not covered about my marketing or my proposal to get your home sold for the least amount of hassle, for the greatest amount of money? And I pause at that point in time, and I wait for them to answer. And if they say, no, there's nothing else that would prevent us from moving forward with your marketing proposal, you've covered everything, at that point in time, I will go into my pricing. If at some point they say, you know what, well, we're going to be interviewing other people, thank you so very much, I'm not going to spend the time in going through my CMA or give them my information, my research that I've done, because we have not dealt with the objections at hand. Or there's maybe they're interviewing somebody that they have already planned to use anyways. So you're wasting your time and your energy by continuing on at that point. So make sure you have a break at the presentation at that point before you go to the CMA and you ask the question, is there anything else that I need to be aware of or that I have not covered when it comes to marketing your property for the least amount of effort on your part but for the greatest amount of return? Ask them some of those types of questions. Then jump in if they say, no, that everything looks really good. You basically have done a trial close in the middle of your presentation to ensure that they're going to list with you. You've tried that out, and they've said to you, Rochelle, is there anything else I haven't covered that I should cover with our market proposal? And they say, no, Rochelle, you know, everything looks really good. I've been basically given the yes to continue. Then I go into the CMA, and I read my client at that point in the presentation. I am looking to find out from that seller, you know, based on their body language at the first part of my presentation, based on my questioning, you know, when I was on the phone with them or when I met with them initially. I want to engage them with some different types of questions, but I want to be at their pace and at their level. If I have an analytic, somebody that's really like black and white, very compliant, it's a high C on the DISC profile, that type of client is going to take, I'm going to go into a lot of detail with my CMA. I'm definitely going to use a cloud CMA. I'm definitely going to go through all of the numbers on how I calculated the adjustment factors. I'm really going to go into a lot of detail. With somebody that's more of the D, like, no, I want to make a decision. I've already, you know, checked out Zillow, Redfin, and all these different websites, and I know that I want to list my home at this price. You know, I'm not going to go into a great detail of, I'm going to cut to the chase with them at that point in time, if they're a high D, demanding, decisive type of individual, and I'm going to go right into the close, and I'm going to go through a net sheet with them that's going to fully show them how much they're going to take away at the price that they set, especially if the price they set is within my range, my price range that I've come up with my CMA. So, and if they're an influencer, high eye, where they're really talking about all of the upgrades they've done and, you know, how did you think about this? And, you know, my friends came over and told me that. They're influenced by people. They're a talker. They're the type that you can't stop them from talking when you ask them questions. If they're like that, you're not wanting to go into the details on the CMA. You're going to want to show them some of the photos, maybe, of look what your neighbor did on this one. Versus here's what your neighbor did on that one. You know, and your house doesn't have the new carpeting, and your house doesn't have the granite counters or the slate on the floor. I mean, you've got to be very talking about the neighbors and the neighborhood and how their home is postured against that. That's how you talk with an influencer or somebody that's a really a big talker. and get them drawn in on what price they needs to be for that listing price so that it can be on the marketplace and a very competitive price. Those are the types of words to use with an I. And those S, those really quiet, sensible types, the ones that are very, very shy, much more reserved, you'll have to ask them questions to bring some of their motivation and be very thorough because they really appreciate the thoughtfulness and the speed. You'll need to slow it way down for those people and be at their level. I have a hard time with S's because I talk so fast, as you guys know. So slow it way down with the S's and ask questions that engage them and bring some of that quietness out so that you are making sure you're covering what they really need when they sell the property. Once you've addressed their, you've done the CMA or you've addressed some of their questions with the price, what you want to ask them now, and you might want to jot this down tonight because this is in essence the end of the call, is now that we have reviewed the data, or now that we've reviewed the market analysis, now that we've reviewed the CMA, whatever you want to say, replace data with CMA or however you've explained it, now that we have reviewed the numbers, where do you feel your price should be to get it sold in the most reasonable amount of time? And then you wait, and you let them say the number. And they say, no, Rochelle, I don't know. You know, you go back to the CMA. You have not overcome some of the objections because really your CMA should point them in the direction of where that price needs to be. And ultimately it's their decision when they sign the listing agreement with you and they come up with the price. So now that we've reviewed the numbers, where do you feel your price should be to get it sold in the most reasonable amount of time? They'll have objections. They'll have, what about your commission? They'll throw all kinds of different things at you. We'll talk about those in later calls. But you really need to ask that question and then pause and let them come up with the number. Then you'll deal with some objections, and then once you've dealt with their objections and you feel good about where the conversation is going, then you'll want to, if this makes sense, let's go ahead and move forward. You'll want to ask them and take your paper, and hopefully your listing agreement's already on the table right there while you are talking with them about the process and about your company. It's already filled out, so it makes it very simple for you to turn the paper around and have them sign the listing agreement. It's already filled out with a 6% listing, and they're ready to go. And it's an assumptive close throughout the presentation. Let me make a note of that. You know, Rochelle, what do you think about our living room? Let me make a note of that for the stager. You know, those are the type of assumptive closes I'm doing throughout my presentation. Okay, now that we've discovered price, let me go ahead and put that onto the sheet, and I have the input sheets there. And now I just need your initial on this, and I've got the date for the timeline. You guys told me the next week you wanted to go live on the market, so I went ahead and added that to the listing agreement here. I just need your initial on this. I need your signature on that. And that's it. You're really providing a solution. You have an opportunity to ask a lot of questions throughout the process. And once you challenge their belief and come up with a solution, it's time to close. It's time to get their listing. So I would highly recommend you, at least if you don't have a lot of time, watch the last, I like all four conference calls. It really sets you up for success. But if you have only a set amount of time, go ahead and spend the time on P4, the last one, and Debbie goes through some of the objections very, very well and gives you some good tips. So I'll let you guys go tonight. Hope this was helpful, and you can come up with a script on your own. You can build your own questionnaire and then start practicing some of the listing proposal situations that you're going to encounter, and we'll start leading into some objections in the later calls. Have a great night, though, and we'll talk to you guys soon.